Wix is the website builder that just keeps on giving. It's giving...
I just built my whole site in under an hour.
It's giving...
I actually made that?
Whoa.
It's giving...
Our sales are through the roof.
So whether you need help expressing yourself or just need something to make your life easier, Wix has you covered. Try it out at Wix.com.
Where in the world is Andrea Gray?
That's not the question.
What's the question?
I think you're traveling, still traveling more than me, although I have seen my share of airports and hotels.
I was just in D.C. this week. That's it. Basic stuff.
I was home.
That's down the street.
I was home. Like, in the house.
Yeah? How'd that feel?
It got cold real quick.
It really did.
And I was like, I didn't leave my house for 2 days.
Just because it was too cold?
It's a beautiful option. No, that wasn't the reason. But once I realized it was cold and rainy.
Yeah.
And I had been gone almost the entire week before.
Yeah.
Across the country and up the coast. I was just like, I'm tired of
How often are you home alone? And how does that feel? Like, just alone.
I appreciate my alone time.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem being alone.
It's happening probably more and more now. The kids are...
Oh, for sure. For sure. Although... One of those kids is in communication constantly.
Yeah.
And that's either a phone call or FaceTime.
Tell her to call me sometimes.
Sure.
Because my kids don't mess with me like that. Like, I hear from my daughter if she needs something.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, never. My oldest, never. He answers if I call.
I mean, he's like a whole half a day ahead right now.
Yeah.
So
don't make excuses. I'm still...
Let him live.
I'm still Big Papa.
Let him live.
Yeah.
That's all good.
So last week we talked about credit cards.
We did.
Andrea doesn't remember what we talked about last week.
I was trying to remember what day.
Yeah.
We've both been gone so much. We've been recording at unusual times.
And I'm drinking coffee for the first time in my entire life right now.
That is... So by the end of this episode...
Jumping. So,
and I'm going to be asleep.
I have about the equivalent of a shot glass worth of coffee sitting
Seriously,
right here.
We're not even calling it a cup of coffee.
Yeah. This is the most, I've only ever had one sip enough to say I don't like coffee. Multiple times.
That is.
And today
hard
I'll get
to believe.
I'll get to sip number two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm dragging today too, by the way, but I've decided it's not worth the 20-minute round trip drive to go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm just sipping water and pushing through until I head home. Because all I have in the house is decaf.
Sip water and mind your business.
That's what I'm really trying to do.
Yeah. Okay. So today's got nothing to do with credit cards.
Or coffee.
And there's not like a ton of advice on this show, but there's a lot going on politically that has big impacts on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to talk about the Mamdani effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've gotten this, but there are a couple of people, like a lot of people are excited about Mamdani, but there's a couple of people that are very worried about what's happening with the rise of democratic socialism.
Right.
Because it's a topic that like we haven't really had yet. Like we've had AOC.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
Bernie Sanders.
With these topics, these ideas of... Mm-hmm. Stepping towards socialism, increasing the social safety net and all that. But they haven't really been elected into a position where they can implement those ideas. And now it's starting to happen. And like some folks are excited, some folks are scared. So we're going to talk about this idea of democratic socialism today. But also this other thing that's happening that's not getting a ton of attention, it's the rise of state capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like our U.S. government is taking equity stakes, like buying stock in a number of publicly traded companies.
Yes.
And like these two things are like very different
because
we're supposed to be in like a free market, right? Like the Republicans are supposed to be about small government, but they are buying up stakes in companies. They're making these, like, so we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. Are you hearing any folks in your client base that are either excited or upset about democratic socialism?
Not per se. I think what we saw in the impactful elections that took place just last week are the anti-MAGA folks just being happy that something other than that won.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was an all-in on democratic socialism necessarily, but it was an acknowledgement and maybe a relief in some ways of what feels like a changing of the guard. And sometimes change, you know, can be a little scary because it's just kind of like, we know we don't want more of that.
Yeah. Speaking of don't want more of that.
And we're not fully clear on what we do want, but we're just relieved because we don't want more of that and we're not getting that. Yeah. But then you got to take a step back and figure out, how are we going to pay for free busing across New York City?
Yeah.
Like, where's that money? Where's that money coming from?
Well, I was just at the Washington Commanders game on Sunday. And
wasn't your boy there?
Not my boy. Your boy was there. Donald Trump was there.
Yes.
And the program was about veterans. It was a Veterans Day thing. And he stood up to read his proclamation.
That's why he was there.
He got boo-ooed.
So I was seeing that footage on social media. And I'm like, did this really happen? Or is this a small group of people?
No, he got, there were a small group of people clapping for him.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were in the booth, in the box with him.
Right.
And literally this one couple in front of me, and literally everybody in there was booing this guy.
I mean, the footage I saw went beyond booing. It was
people were,
some language.
Because you got to realize,
choice fingers.
The shutdown was still going on.
Yeah.
And we're in D.C. or in the D.C. area, mm-hmm. DMV. And a lot of folks in that arena were impacted. Like, I had two of my cousins with me and two of them were furloughed.
Yeah. So can I be petty just for a second?
Please be petty. I insist. I expect it at this point.
I don't know, but I don't love petty Dre, but
okay.
Sometimes it's fun for her to come out.
I love petty Dre. It's my favorite Dre.
What I loved seeing though was the footage of Barack Hussein Obama.
Why have you been saying his middle name every time?
Just because.
Just putting emphasis on it?
Just putting emphasis on it for a positive.
It's literally like, only used to hearing it when it's negative.
Right. So it's
changing the narrative.
It's changing the narrative the way some of the others did with woke, right? Okay. Former President Barack Hussein Obama greeting the honor flight of veterans coming into D.C.
Mm-hmm.
and the applause and the shock and the joy in the veterans' reaction and their family members was priceless. It made me miss it.
Yeah, Obama was loved. I mean, like,
even people who disagree with his policies or maybe were a little bit skeptical because they didn't know themselves that they were ready for a black president, right? They appreciated that he came to greet the veterans, and I think people have respect for him even if they disagreed with his policies.
Yeah, but just as a statesman, as a gentleman, like, he was loved. And
can I say, no, we have kids listening.
What, you gonna say he's fine?
He's a cool ass dude. No, I wasn't gonna say that. Although if I was 10 years older, I
for my wife, that's her hall pass.
For real. That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's just a cool dude.
Yeah, he is.
And like, it's real. Like, he's not pretending. Like, that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sisters rock with Michelle too, because we're like,
yeah,
that's black royalty right there.
But yeah,
but statesmanship, honor, respect, all those things.
Yeah. But to your point about people wanting something different, right? Like, there's a lot of folks who really voted against their own interests and didn't know it. And they're seeing that now, which is why the Democrats have won so many elections recently.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think they still, as a party, have a long way to go. Because right now they're looking suspect on average. Like,
facts.
Their biggest argument is we got to be different than him, but they're not coming up with a good retort.
And there are long-serving leaders that, you know, some people are like, is this really different?
Yeah. So let's talk about capitalism a little bit. So this is the form of economics that our country is really based on. Free market capitalism is the base of it. We don't live in a full free market capitalist state, but this is what we're kind of modeled after. And people's view of capitalism is starting to slip. 3 years ago, 60% of Americans said they had a positive view of capitalism. In a recent Gallup poll, it dropped to 54%. That's a 10% drop in the favorable view of capitalism.
Worthy of note.
Now, socialism, right, which Mamdani is a part of, democratic socialism is a type of socialism. Support for socialism, it's growing. It's gone from 38% in 2021 to 39%, right? Not as big of a jump, a 1% move. 1% to 38 is what, I don't know.
Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
10% of 38 is 3.8.
So. Okay. Much smaller move. We'll agree on that.
Okay. Let's do that.
Then the 10% jump or drop for people who like capitalism. And so it's still, socialism is still, the majority of Americans are opposed to it, but, you know, folks are warming up to it, really. And when you look across political parties in terms of capitalism, Democrats have dropped from 50% being favorable on capitalism to now 42%. It's the first time that Democrats have ever dipped below 50% for how much they like and appreciate capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a time where the top insert number percent of wealth is concentrated amongst a small group of people. And then the wider that gets, the more there is a call for more evenly distribution of wealth.
Yeah.
Which is giving socialism, right? So even people who may not have historically been a supporter of socialist type policies are now like, wait a minute, maybe everything doesn't need to be distributed exactly evenly, but it should not be concentrated amongst the small group of people, let alone the small group of people who are in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is probably what's moving, what's behind the numbers.
Additionally, young people favor socialism at a much higher rate than older people.
Well, I have my own theories about that.
And the Republicans are digging in. Their view of capitalism is growing. Their positivity on capitalism is growing. Mm-hmm. So we're really like going in these two different directions right now. So let's talk about what is democratic socialism. And again, we're talking about Zoran Mamdani. He's the mayor coming after the current mayor, Eric Adams, who's had a lot of interesting sound bites over the years. I watched a video this week of all these different outtakes and things that he said. Eric Adams is wild. And like, God bless him. But like, people who were so worried about Mamdani, I'm like, look, like, I hate to say anything bad about a black mayor. But like, like, how bad is he going to be, Mamdani? That's all I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
The funny thing is when you think about black mayors and governors, I mean, I think of like Douglas Wilder of Virginia. Okay. I think about in New York, we had
David Dinkins.
We had, in New York, we had David Dinkins.
Mm-hmm. Statesman.
In Maryland, you got Wes Moore.
Yeah.
Like, and in New York, we got Eric Adams. Eric Adams is literally like, you could find me in a barbershop smoking a cigar and drinking Henny. Like, he's mayor, like, talking like that.
That's what I mean. He's about them streets.
He's like, any day in New York, you could find people celebrating opening a new business or the World Tower getting bombed by planes. Like, what are you talking about? But whatever.
Yeah.
So let's get into this democratic socialism. So what is it?
I heard he'd be in the streets, though.
Listen. He's down with the common man.
See, he's brought me down to his level. I said, he be in them streets. I just said that.
Sometimes.
Wow.
It be's like that.
That's petty. That's petty Dre still talking. All right, let me go back to my normal self.
Yeah. So democratic socialism, there's not like a common definition. Like there's a lot of things that it's about. And it's like an umbrella that includes a couple of different things. But the biggest one is that it's for people who are skeptical of capitalism because of the inequities that are created.
Right.
When you look at poor people, homeless people, the elderly, the sick. Like, these are inequities. The issue with capitalism, according to folks who are interested in democratic socialism, is that it prioritized profit over the well-being of people, over their humanity. And so here's the Mamdani agenda, which I think will help you to understand what democratic socialism is. So number one, he's looking to create New York City's first universal childcare program. Oh, here was the joke I was going to tell earlier. Did you see that the governor of Kentucky had to like tweet, like, hey, I know y'all showed up for the election today, but you can't, we're not having an election and you can't come here to vote in the mayor race for New York City?
I heard about it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
They were mad as heck they couldn't vote against Mamdani.
But like, how did we get here though?
You got to realize we have these news organizations that are very, very biased and partisan. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about these issues as if they're really part of national politics. And so I'm living in Kentucky. I feel like I should be able to vote against Mamdani. Like, yeah.
Again, how did we get here?
I don't know. So the first tenet of his policy, Mamdani, is free childcare for all New York City children from 6 weeks to 5 years old. And this really helps folks being able to go back into the workforce. Like childcare, like you remember childcare as the mother of two,
yes,
or relatively close in age. Like childcare is very expensive.
Yeah. It can be a mortgage payment or a rent payment.
Yeah, and he wants to pay for this by taxing high earners and corporations. So democratic socialism is about redistributing dollars. Yeah. Like the folks who have the most need to help supplement the folks who have the least or who are in a position of economic disadvantage. Mm-hmm. And that program isn't just for high or low income earners. It's for everybody that
right.
has kids. Now, yeah. not everyone may elect to use it,
right?
But it's an option for mm-hmm. people. I have a cousin. I have multiple cousins who have a lot of kids. One cousin, 10 kids. Another cousin, 12 kids. Another
Are they close
cousin,
in your age?
Yeah.
Are they?
Another cousin, 7 kids. My cousin with 7 kids, literally one of the kids is named, like their birth order is their name. Like I'm the 5th kid, my name is 5th, like that.
Or you're, number you're 5. Joking.
No, I'm dead serious. It's not 5. I don't want
to
like, name my yeah. cousin on
okay.
air. But
mm-hmm.
childcare is one of those things that, like in my cousin's family and in her life or his life, I don't want to, you know, talk bad about my family, mm-hmm. but it's impaired all the kids because she's had to make tough decisions, like saying that the older kids can't go to college because she needs the help raising the younger kids.
Mm.
Like where's that family headed?
Right.
Right. So this is.
It just makes me think of the wealth generation conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also a trend in my family. I'm not sure if it's a trend in yours. The most educated people in my family have the least number of kids. And the least educated have the most kids in my family.
I haven't actually thought about it. I have a big family.
Yeah, but the way this...
When we're talking about cousins, I can't count them.
Yeah, no, same.
My mom is one of 9 and my dad is one of 12.
Yeah, and my...
And some of my aunts and uncles have 8 to 10 kids.
My grandfather's one of 26, so yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Other parts of the Mamdani agenda, making city buses free and freezing rent for 1 million rent-stabilized tenants in the city.
Yeah, that's expensive.
How does he want to pay for it? He wants to tax the city's wealthiest residents and increase the city's corporate tax rate to pay for this stuff. So a 2% extra tax on folks who make over $1 million. Like, I'm not mad at that. Like 2% is a lot, by the way. Like I think New York's tax rates are already like high,
mm-hmm.
like 8%, something mm-hmm. like that. So to pay 10, so if I make $1 million, that's an extra $100,000 in tax. Like
mm-hmm.
it's high.
Yep.
But like there's some needs, like being able to get to work.
Yeah.
Like that's something.
I mean, yeah, I think though the other side of that, now I don't want to get too far ahead though, is will corporations start to move their businesses out of the city? I don't know.
Or will they talk trash and not do anything?
Oh.
Which is what I expect.
That too.
So we're talking about the Mamdani effect. We're breaking down democratic socialism. And also we will get into this concept of state-run capitalism.
Mm.
Keep listening.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Say what you want about AI, but it's here, and it's helping businesses get more done in a day. Wix's website builder is infused with AI so you can stay ahead. Create a beautiful, functional website just by describing your idea. Track how your site appears in AI search results. Create custom images on demand, or launch an entire campaign in a matter of minutes. Wix gives you AI wherever you need it. Try it now for free at wix.com. Your business is one of a kind, so your website should be too. With Wix, it's easy, almost too easy, to create a website that's perfectly yours. Just tell AI what kind of site you want to build, or choose from thousands of templates. Change whatever you want, whenever you want, and get everything you need to start running your business your way. No matter what you sell or what you aspire to be, you can do it all yourself on Wix.
Momentum.
And we're back.
I didn't go anywhere.
Our listeners might have gone somewhere.
That is true. They can hit pause at any time.
Yeah.
Fast forward or skip.
I skip all the commercials. Am I wrong? When I listen to the podcast, I always skip the commercials. Is that bad?
No, it's not bad, but I'm usually doing something else, so.
Just let them ride.
Yeah.
I'm anti-commercial in general.
Okay.
When I'm watching YouTube and the commercials come on, I just put my phone down.
And
I just peek back.
I use them as breaks to do something.
Yeah. I hate Hulu.
If I record something, then I'm definitely doing the smart forward or is it? Where it'll just go past.
But have you noticed that it's still giving you one commercial?
Still giving you one commercial.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle, in the dead middle of the show, it's still giving you a full commercial.
I hate Hulu because I'm paying money and I still got to watch commercials. And if you skip forward, let's say you like fell asleep and you want to like fast forward to get back to where you were, it then makes you watch all the commercials you missed. Like, I really hate that platform. I will continue to protest by closing my eyes while those commercials are running.
Yep, that's a going. Thing. How's that working out for you?
So before the break, we were talking about the Mamdani effect and just kind of walking through his platform in New York City as a model for what democratic socialism really is. So another idea is city-run grocery stores. Now, here's an interesting one, right? Everyone's complaining about the price of food. So what he's proposing is to create 5 government-subsidized grocery stores, one in each borough of New York City. And this is a way of addressing rising food prices. You're using city land to harvest and grow produce, and you're not charging these grocery stores the same amount in taxes. So you're really subsidizing it, and you're trying to make food more affordable, especially in food deserts, especially in places where food is just really, really expensive.
So on the surface, this sounds noble and like a good idea. I didn't realize so many people consider this one of his most controversial ideas.
Yeah, because I mean, it's getting into business enterprise.
Yeah. People are comparing it to Soviet-era government food rationing. And I didn't hear it that way. But, you know, if you have that as a reference point, I could see how that could be a concern.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The next one is a rent freeze. I don't know if you remember that candidate that was running for mayor a few years ago. He had the white gloves he would always wear. His whole camp, his party he was running under, his platform was called "The Rent Is Too Damn High."
I remember that, but I thought that was an urban legend. That was real?
This was legitimately a candidate.
It wasn't Sliwa?
No.
Who was in that? Okay.
It was a black guy. He had like a handlebar mustache,
yes.
No beard.
Yes.
He wore gloves.
Okay, that's right.
And his party was called "The Rent Is Too Damn High."
I watched the debate. SNL spoof
or an urban legend spoof.
Yeah.
If you look at that debate, they'll ask him a question like, "So what do you think about the hole in the ozone?" The issue is the rent is too damn high.
Yes, I probably saw that and thought it was...
No, he was a legitimate candidate. I mean, he got like close to no votes, but it's very entertaining. And Mamdani is now proposing a rent freeze. There's already rent-stabilized apartments in New York City. These are apartments that are hard to come by, but if you can get one, then the rents are already low, but he wants to just freeze those rents because they do go up a little bit. This makes it easier for folks to live where they work. Like, there's so many people that live in Manhattan but have to commute from all over because they can't afford to live in the neighborhoods where they work. And then finally, you got defunding the police. And his idea there is not to actually defund the police, but rather to dispatch mental health workers rather than the police to respond to some 911 calls. Like, this one I actually think is a great idea, too.
Yeah, it's all in the how, right?
Yeah.
Great idea. How can you implement it? Is it, it sounds like rather than the police, which some situations can be de-escalated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there is a safety issue here. So it's like.
Yeah. So you like in addition to the police. Like.
Yeah, but I don't even know how that will work either.
Yeah,
like real life application, you're still talking about people's lives being in danger.
I mean,
and I wouldn't want to put those first responders or social science experts in danger. They have to be protected too.
Facts.
So it's a,
yeah. No, that, but, you're bringing
but there's
some
great situations
points.
That police officers are not equipped to handle.
You're bringing up a great
point. I don't know. That's a tough one. Love the idea.
Yeah.
Hard to implement.
I mean, the challenge is when you call 911 today,
mm-hmm.
in most cities, you're getting three options. You're getting the police who show up with guns,
mm-hmm.
firemen who show up with water hoses, but also a lot of them are trained as EMTs.
Yeah.
Or you're getting an ambulance.
Right.
There's no fourth option of getting a mental health professional.
Right.
And someone showing up to de-escalate a situation with a gun on their hip.
Right.
Ain't the answer either.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see. And then finally, for folks that are worried about democratic socialism, particularly in New York City, you got to realize that we have a balance of government, a balance of power. And even in a place like New York City, you can't do things like raise taxes without the state legislature approving it.
That's right.
And also the governor. And as
with
much as Mom Donnie, as much as Mom Donnie wants to raise taxes and create like a wealth tax and all that, the governor's against it. So like he is going to be limited. And I personally think people are going to talk a lot of smack. Like I have a client that lives in Florida who just bought a place in New York. And she's like, I'm so worried about this place in New York. New York's going to hell. I'm like, yo, people have been complaining about stuff forever, but like New York is still New York.
And Florida is still Florida.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I think I know what you're talking about, but.
And the Mom Donnie effect is not just in New York City. So California. So California right now is debating a bill that would create a wealth tax, a one-time 5% tax on anyone with a net worth over $1 billion. Why are they doing that? Because there's a survey that said the 400 richest billionaires in this country, their taxes amount to about 1.3% of their net worth. Now look, taxes in America aren't based on net worth. They're based on income. And so there's a lot of ways to shield your income. And so California is basically debating this idea of taxing wealth. Just a one-time, just hit them over the head. Because California has a bunch of billionaires. California, out of the 400 billionaires we just mentioned, there's 255 of them in California, more than any other state in America.
Hmm.
If you've got a $10 billion net worth, this could amount to a $500 million one-time tax hit.
Listen.
That's a lot of tax.
I mean.
Like. As a non-billionaire myself, I'm like, this doesn't affect me. And if I had $10 billion, I could afford to pay out $500 million.
Yeah, 1.3% is nothing, though, when the rest of us,
middle-of-the-road
people, are paying perhaps in the 20s mm-hmm. or maybe even the 30s. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, another issue, too, just because you've got a high net worth does not mean that you've got the liquidity to cut a check for $500 million. Like a lot of folks are in private businesses. Like a lot of my wealth personally is tied up in Momentum Advisors, which is a private company. If I got a bill for $500 million, I would just be punching the air. Like I can't do anything with that. Not that I'm worth anywhere near $10 billion, by the way. other states. So Massachusetts just approved.
How about a million? I'm just kidding.
Massachusetts in 2022 approved a 4% tax on people who make over $1 million. There's other similar bills in Connecticut, Washington, Maryland, and Rhode Island. We're inching towards this concept of democratic socialism. So let's get into it a little bit more. What is democratic socialism? It's basically combining democracy. Democracy is the idea of the will of the people with socialist economics, which is about the public needs rather than profits. Democratic socialism is about social ownership, democratic control, and it's different from communism, by the way, because communism,
yes,
is really about like having a dictator or an authoritarian regime. That's a big difference here. Yep. But people will also say, hey, Mamdani is a communist.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's easy to say that.
I mean, people are throwing out words without to be interpreted by people who don't understand them. And that's where the ignorance comes. I found myself looking up things.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Like, I don't remember all the lessons from civics or U.S. world history. So,
yeah. And they didn't have this in school. Like, we learned about communism and we learned about capitalism.
Right. Like, I don't remember the lesson on fascism.
Yeah.
I don't remember it. So I'm just like, what are we really saying here?
But also, you know, there's these words that, depending on who you're listening to, there's a different definition baked inside of them.
Exactly.
So that's why we're breaking down this word. So here's where it gets interesting. So part of democratic socialism is the government taking control of certain sectors of the economy, like grocery stores, the healthcare system, utilities, to benefit the public instead of private corporations. Mm-hmm. That's a key tenet of democratic socialism. So let's transition into this idea of state own capitalism for a second. Because think about this again. We said government would be a part of the grocery stores in New York City, right? Because they know that people need to eat and they need to make sure that it's not just for profit that that grocery stores are being managed. They're also being managed for the public good. That's what it's all about.
Right.
And
can't get this commercial jingle out of my head.
What's the jingle?
It's Instacart.
Okay.
He's at the football game and the grocery store. He's at the combination football game and grocery store. See, anyway, never mind.
I've heard that like one time and I just let it go. The fact that
it's the
is living rent-free in your head is hilarious.
It's highlighting the fact that someone's at the football game,
okay,
but they're ordering groceries.
Brilliant.
So they can have groceries when they arrive home.
Okay.
So the person is like at the game, but at the grocery store.
So stick with me for a second, right? So we've got Mamdani, who's being called a communist, who's saying people are saying he's so radical. He wants the government to get involved in things like grocery stores. That ain't right. But look at what we're doing in the United States in 2025. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to this. This has not been like talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. But did you know that this year our government has made a bunch of investments into publicly traded companies?
Yes, I did know. I do know.
So less than a year into Trump's term, his current term, he has quietly led the federal government to taking an equity stake, not in just one little set of grocery stores in New York City, but five different publicly traded companies. And they're planning to do this more and more moving
forward. It's not been so quiet. May not be at the forefront.
I haven't seen it in any TikTok videos. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I haven't seen it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen young folks on the subway in New York City debating this.
Because he don't hide too much.
Yeah.
In fact, he probably talks too much.
Yes. Here's some of these deals. In August, the government took a 10% stake, equity stake, in Intel. They had $11 billion in federal grants and other funding that they had given to this company. And they decided that they're going to convert it into equity. Like, think about that, a grant. What is a grant? If I say I'm giving you a grant, Andrea,
you're coming. It's like a gift.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're saying, nah, you know what? I want a piece of your equity. Because
have you seen Intel stock?
Well, it's jumped a lot since they made that investment.
I bought some.
Listen, we're going to get to the advice part in a little bit. But like the government is meddling. Like when Mom Donnie suggested for grocery stores, oh, we can't have that. That's controversial. When Trump does it for Intel, one's talking about this.
That's right.
NVIDIA and AMD, these are these chip making companies. They make chips that are a big part of artificial intelligence. They went to these two companies and said, look, here, player, here's what we're going to do. Okay?
Not the player.
For any chips you sell to China, we want you to go ahead and give us 15%. Mm-hmm. That's like, that reminds me of like the mafia a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like a protection fee.
Let me get a piece of that.
Like when the Republicans do it.
Yep.
And I thought the Republicans wanted a small government.
Right. They were all about small government. Not too much government overreach or oversight.
This year, the Pentagon, I was just with some friends in D.C. this week, and somebody was like looking at this building in D.C. like, oh, look at that. It's the Pentagon. I'm like, that's the Washington Monument. Jokers really don't know what these buildings are.
You don't remember the geometry lesson? Like the Pentagon has five sides.
Come on, man. Yeah. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? That's the Pentagon, yo. Like, you're right. This year.
I used to think the U.S. Capitol was the White House.
A lot of people did. I thought that.
As a kid,
as a small child.
Yeah. Like the nightly news or whatever.
It seems like it should be the White House.
Yeah, right.
It's white.
Full of white people. I mean.
So other deals. This year, the Pentagon bought a $400 million equity stake in a rare earth miner called MP Materials, and it led that company's stock to double in price. Hmm. They then bought a golden share of U.S. Steel. So U.S. Steel was acquired by a Japanese company called Nippon Steel. Mm-hmm. This golden share means that the company has to consult the U.S. government before making big decisions like closing a plant, reducing jobs, etc. This essentially is giving the government veto decisions on anything that this steel company does that it doesn't like.
That was one of the first deals or arrangements, whatever we want to call it, that I remember hearing about. Mm-hmm. Before the chips and NVIDIA and all of that and Intel. I remember hearing about this one early on.
Yeah. Like, don't these guys seem kind of similar a little bit? Now, when Trump's doing it, he's thinking about national security, which is this, like, carte blanche thing that you say when you just want to do whatever the heck you want to do.
Yep.
When Mom Donnie does it, he's doing it in the vein of helping people.
Yeah.
But it's the same tactic, really, is what we're getting at.
Exactly.
So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're just going to keep this conversation going and give a couple of ideas of what you can do in the face of this Mom Donnie effect.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
And we're back. Dre just called herself a nerd off mic.
I did.
I will have to agree with you and raise you one that I am also a nerd. We are sitting here debating economic, like, philosophies, effectively. Yeah. We are comparing and contrasting two men that would bill themselves as very, very different politically.
And off air, we were talking about the type of students we were in school, which is why I self-described as a nerd.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we need more nerds.
I'm a pretty cool nerd today. I was not then.
Yeah.
Sorry. I visited with a longtime friend recently, and the nostalgia and the memories, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I was such a nerd.
Yeah.
I had a picture for you, but I'll show it to you later.
Okay, of you being a nerd back in the day?
No, but it was definitely a picture recently? From back in the day.
Okay.
With a current day picture.
Yeah.
We look a lot better today than we did in 1990.
Okay.
The 1900s.
That's funny. So before the break, we were talking about these similarities between these two men. We think they're very different, but some of their ideas are very similar, and it's all coming to play. Like, as we head into this midterm election, what's also interesting, I forgot to mention too, like, Trump's been joking about running for a third term, which also, I mean, look, if you change the laws, it also means Obama could run for a third term. So, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we talking about?
Man.
Although I don't know if Obama would actually do it unless it's just to keep Trump from doing it, which would be.
Michelle wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And you know what? As much as I would want that for the country, I don't want that for them.
I don't want it for us. I don't want any president to feel like they need to be a president three times. Like,
I mean, we changed
our constitution to make sure that this doesn't happen. Like, we don't need kings. And there's so much self-importance in even trying to run a third time.
Also true.
Oh,
I know.
Yo, Andre is showing me a picture that I wish.
Scroll up.
Andre is showing me a picture. You look cool. Got a big dress on. You got a big, it's like a cloth bear on your shoulder.
But then scroll up to today.
But hold on, there's a lot of collarbone showing. Collarbone was basically cleavage in the 90s.
Literally going to prom.
That's a great picture. Oh, that's the two of y'all back then
and
then now.
The two of us last week.
Killing back then and killing now.
We look a lot better right now.
Okay. But
anyway, sorry.
So, Howard Lutnick, he's the Commerce Secretary. He's saying, look, we are going to keep this thing going. Let's figure out what else we can buy.
Why did he make me mad? He made me mad about something. I don't remember what it was, but he made me mad about something. Yeah. I'm going to try to remember it before this show is over. And I've talked about it, but I just don't remember.
It was probably during the election. Like, he was super pro-Trump. He was...
Like, I could see him standing in front of the White House commenting on something. And I was like... I think he was describing a concept that sounded like equity and inclusion.
Yeah.
But it was called something else. And I'm just like, so... That's okay when it comes to business. He might have been talking about like the Mag 7 or something and talking about a concentration of resources in the top however many companies. And I'm like, so that's a problem when we're talking about businesses, but it's not a problem when we're talking about people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Howard Lutnick.
Yep.
Wall Street guy. He was a Cantor Fitzgerald guy.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's talking about future deals. They're looking at quantum computing companies. There's a handful of companies. Quantum computing is about having computers be faster and using less energy to be able to solve way more problems than they can solve right now. Some of these stocks are jumping up 300%, 3,000%, 4,000%. All on speculation that the government is going to invest into them. Copper mining, they took a stake in a company called Trilogy Metals. They also approved a project in Alaska called the Ambler Road Project, which allows the government to encourage this company they now own to mine for copper. Like, it's all like the game is getting a little fixed. Mm. Like, I buy into a copper company and then I change the regulations and make it easier for you to mine copper.
Yeah.
Like, and this is for what purpose other than profit?
Right.
That's the big difference.
It's not to help people.
Yeah.
Or it's not to help the general public. It's to help somebody's friends and family members.
And it's very different. Like, this is very different. Like, in the past, if the government was giving a business money for any reason, it was grants, like a research grant. It was a loan. It was a tax incentive, but there wasn't really ownership. Like, even think about what happened when all the banks got bailed out. Like, they bailed out the banks, but they didn't own the banks. Like, they put capital into those banks and they took it back. And this time, it's just a lot different. And there's really no limit. Like, next is going to be defense is another industry they're looking at.
Yeah, I'm struggling with some of these policies.
Yeah. But it creates like conflicts of interest. Like, for example, I'll give you a quick example. Let's say there's two different companies in the same industry. The government backs one and doesn't back the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When that other company starts to get into trouble and lays off people, then the company the government's a part of wants to lay off people. Like, do you think that they'll be able to do it if the government is a shareholder? Like, the government ain't trying to see people lose their jobs. So now we're kind of back to socialism again.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
Although the government was okay with their people not getting paid for a little while because they don't see those departments, those employees as valuable or profitable to them. I mean, we had to fight just to get people who have been furloughed for them to get back pay when it's actually law that the president signed into law.
The more I'm analyzing this government shutdown, the more I'm like, yo, this is just dumb. Like, we shut down the government for all of these weeks, like over a month. So people who were supposed to be at work couldn't work. And when they come back, you got to give them all the money back. So basically, you just gave them an unwanted vacation.
Yeah.
A paid vacation.
Right. But then you had people who were in charge of doing the work of the government who were not working, but they were getting paid.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, that's perhaps an unintended consequence.
You mean the congressmen, the senators?
Yeah.
Getting paid?
Yeah. Yeah, but literally not working.
And literally, like, what did we really get? What did the Democrats really get?
Yeah.
Like, they got the opportunity to be a part of future discussions. Like, they folded. Like, people took major sacrifices. A lot of my cousins, a lot of the listeners have been not earning a paycheck for weeks. Like, that's tough.
Yep.
And what do we get? And when you're sacrificing, you're at least saying, well, at least we're going to get something at the end. And the thing that was at stake was this idea of subsidies for healthcare.
Right.
And we don't have those subsidies right now.
Which are expensive
and
need to be looked at, but...
Yeah, but you got money to put into NVIDIA and...
Exactly. That's really the issue.
Intel and all these companies.
How are we using the money that is available?
We just gave billions of dollars to Argentina.
Exactly. Like, that's really...
Bruh.
Yes.
So what's our advice? I mean, like, we are... Just recognize and pay attention to this moment that we're in. Like... Have conversations with your friends about the fact that our government is in the stock business now, buying stocks in all of these different companies. Second, talk about it. Like, talk about this idea of democratic socialism and the fact that it ain't that different than what's happening right now. It's just a matter of who's being enriched by it.
Exactly.
Who's being helped by it.
So, on the issue of government being in the stock business, have you gotten the question I have about, hey, the government is doing this. Should I buy too? Should I be buying this? Because if the government is investing in it, then at least if it's a moneymaker, I'm participating.
I haven't yet, but I expect that I will.
Yeah.
What's your answer on that?
It still
it depends. I know
it depends, and I'm a fundamentalist at the end of the day. So I look at all the things that we look at when we evaluate a company or a stock. I try not to let that be decided by what's happening politically, but how can you not? I mean, do we have any clients that don't own NVIDIA? I don't know if we do. Even if it's not
unless
as a
you don't have
name.
Any stocks, unless you just have only bonds,
right? I don't think so. You know, but then it comes down to, I got the question today, but there were a couple of companies in particular, and I said, you know, I haven't been buying that for anyone else, but let me go do some research and get back to you, because I want to look at the fundamentals and all the things that we use to evaluate companies.
Yeah,
because I can be confident in that.
Yeah,
I can't be confident in what the government is doing or say they're going to do.
But like, as we're transitioning into whatever happens next, you want to make sure that you are profiting from the systems that are in place right now.
Yeah.
Which is really capitalism. Mm-hmm. And like, what's your method of profiting from capitalism? As much as you might not like it, it's investing.
Mm-hmm.
It's investing in your 401k. Like, for example, Fidelity just put out a report that they have over 500,000 people that are Fidelity clients who have more than $1 million in their 401k plans. Like, you could be one of them. It's the company stock programs that might be happening at your company if you work in corporate America.
Yeah.
The ESPP, which is the employee stock purchase program, where you can buy shares of your company's stock at a discount.
That's right.
That's a wealth creation opportunity.
You better know it.
That's like a spreading of the wealth a little bit.
Listen, I built a significant part of my practice around that, helping people manage those types of benefits.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. They're employee benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not available to every employee of every company. But in many cases, I was seeing people who were getting paid that way for the first time. So they didn't know. They didn't even understand what they had access to.
Yeah.
So I mean.
It's a way that the corporate world is already spreading the wealth if you decide to participate.
Correct.
Like, for example, AutoZone, the CEO, founder of
Get
AutoZone.
They are not a sponsor. I'm in jingle.
Yeah. Jingle land.
Jingle mode today. I don't know.
So there's this guy named Pitt Hyde. He's the founder of AutoZone. And he's on the Forbes list. He's one of the wealthiest people in America, but he has created over 4,000 of his employees that are multimillionaires simply from their stock purchase program and their RSUs, their restricted stock unit grants.
Hmm.
Like, that is a way of wealth being spread that's already happening. And you can participate if you're at one of these companies that's doing it. And maybe you saw the flyer for it, but didn't sign up for it. But like, these programs allow you to buy company stock at a 10 or 15 or 20% discount.
Right. You're going in with some equity.
That's a good deal.
Yep.
If you have opportunities to receive RSUs and ISOs, and I'm using these letters purposefully because I want you to look up what they are, but it's restricted stock units or incentive stock options. If you have a chance to be compensated in stock, look at that as a good thing.
Look at that as a wealth building opportunity, a great thing. You can do so much with that.
Microsoft has over 30,000 employees, from secretaries to janitors, who've become millionaires because of their equity compensation plans.
I have seen it. I have seen administrative employees grow their wealth because they got paid with some of these.
Yeah. A lot of times, like, I think people, because we've been coaching a couple clients who are weighing different job opportunities, and like, they look at this and get confused and like, I'd rather just have more salary. But like, yo, this is real wealth creation opportunity. Now, hopefully you're not at a crappy company. Like, I think there's some analysis needs to go into now analyzing the company as well. Like, we have a client that just moved from a tech, like a solid tech unicorn, to a utility company. And I'm like, the upside's very different. That's all I'm saying. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It is.
other ideas. Like the social safety net is probably bigger under democratic socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Under our current regime, it's being reduced. I don't know where things are going to land, but I know that we all need our own safety net. Our safety net comes from having our own savings to make sure that we can meet our own needs if there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from buying insurance. I'm talking health, disability, life insurance.
Property and casualty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We own stuff.
I was in a car accident the other day. I just was about to cancel my policy on my full coverage on my car, not cancel.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yo, I got an old car.
I don't need
all this. I literally just sent my agent an email like, hey, I think I want to cancel. Not cancel, you know what I'm saying? Reduce.
Yeah. Adjust.
To only have liability.
Right.
A week later, I'm in an auto accident. Yeah. So have your own safety net. Investments are
Had you made the changes?
No.
Okay.
Like,
you just never.
I was just like, I think I want to. Give me the numbers.
Right.
They wrote me back. And I was like, let me think about it. Boom.
And then you thought about
accident.
It.
Accident. Investments are part of your safety net as well. And then finally, speaking of investments, like be a part of the stock market and be an investor, whether through your 401k, whether through a brokerage account. Buy some stock market indices.
Here's the thing. There's more certainty in the stock market than there is in the lottery. And what do we say about the lottery?
That's true.
Gotta be in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in the stock market. You gotta be in it to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might buy some scratch-offs that don't give you anything.
Yeah.
But over time, history has shown
mm-hmm.
you're gonna win a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna hit a couple times.
Yeah. And that's it. And you will participate. If you choose to participate.
Yeah.
And it's a wealth creation opportunity that's out there. Whether it's Mom Donnie as our next president. Or whether we continue in this regime where we're doing state-run capitalism.
Is the country ready for that? Do you think the country's ready for that?
I'm just talking smack right now.
Yeah, I know. Someone's coming for you on that one.
He ain't even mayor
yet. He's not even mayor, right? Mayor-elect.
Yeah. So this is a different conversation. We're talking politics. We're talking economics.
Just sharing information.
Yeah, we're hoping
we do that.
Got something from it. Hopefully your eyes are a little bit wider and you can start to see some of the things that are unfolding in front of you, and maybe there's a chance for you to make a profit from it. I don't know. I don't know. If you want to take a deep dive into your personal financial situation, if you're unsure about your readiness for retirement, you want to sit down with either me or Andrea, visit our website, momentum-advisors.com, go to the contact page, and you'll schedule time with either one or both of these Momentum advisors. We'll be back in a week or so, if Lord willing.
Yes, or so. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum advisors. Momentum.
Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.